Sex Drive 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Drive harder.
Gobble, gobble, it's Movies On Up. Don't count the odds, count the bodies. I'm Dave, joined by my odd body of a co-host, Mr. Ryan.
I do have an oddly shaped body. There's not much I can say in response.
I don't do segues as well as you, but he is Ryan. I am Dave. We are Movies On Up. Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, everybody. Our tagline for this week, don't count the odds, count the bodies. Could be talking about turkeys this week, for all we know, or yams.
Let the turkeys hit the floor.
If you know what movie that is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup, and you will win a glorious Movies On Up prize package that you will be thankful to receive.
Full of a cornucopia of movie items.
So Thanksgiving is this week. I don't know if you've picked up on that, if we've mentioned it yet. And we generally try to theme our episodes. I think last Thanksgiving we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We've done
that
our favorite.
That one made some sense.
We did our favorite like family get-together movies. Because Thanksgiving movies isn't really a genre that you can branch out and do a lot of. We did movies we were thankful for. So this week, we were reaching. It's kind of word association on up this week. Because you think Thanksgiving, you think the Pilgrims and the Indians. Not a lot of Pilgrim movies or Indian movies that you can think of. But you think Indians, you think, oh, cowboys. So for Thanksgiving, here's our favorite cowboys. That's a little peek behind the curtain to see how we got there.
Or we had talked about that Ty West movie, In the Valley of Violence, which came out in
like a
October.
Month ago.
Yeah. But we can't do it in October
because
we do horror movies. So
yeah, the Ethan Hawke, John
we
Travolta.
We paid it forward.
Yep. Yes, we did. So yeah, our tagline this week, don't count the odds, count the bodies. That's from the first Young Guns. So let us know that and you can win the prize back. I'm positive we've done favorite Western episodes before. Because I'm not a Western fan.
I tend to agree with you.
I'm not a Western guy, so I remember having issues with that list to come up with five Westerns that I liked. And I could have researched and looked up to see if I had any history of a list. I didn't. So what did you do? You just went classic cowboys and Westerns that you like?
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid that if we did our five favorite Westerns, I might have just decided that my five favorite Westerns also featured my five favorite cowboys. So the list might be in a different order because it's not the same day, but it might be the five same movies. That's possible. And that was basically my process. My artistic process was just...
If we did do a Western episode, I did not save the file as Westerns. So
okay.
We will never know.
That's that's about as exhaustive a search as you could possibly do.
Mine, I went a little bit different, but I'll explain mine when we get to it. Let's get to your number five favorite cowboy movie partner.
My fifth favorite cowboy is Woody from Toy Story. Of course, Tom Hanks from 1995, directed by John Lasseter, starring the aforementioned Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Don Rickles. This is, I would say, my most fun character on the list. What I love most about this character specifically is how outgunned he is when it comes to the new toy in town, Buzz. Literally, Woody has an empty holster, and Buzz comes in with laser beams and flashing lights and buttons that you can press, the wings that come out. Fancy toy. I also love kind of what Woody and Buzz represent. To get a little deeper into it, this list is about cowboys, which were, you know, in the 40s and 50s, Westerns were at their height, so the cowboy was like this archetypal hero, like what every kid that didn't really want to get a real job or didn't want to consider that, what do you want to be? I want to be a cowboy, because they were awesome. That was the epitome of what you would aspire to be as a dude. So in the 60s, it sort of changed to astronauts. The space race was around, so instead of wanting to kind of go backwards and be this rustic cowboy, I think kids were sort of enamored with astronauts, much the same way that I think kids are kind of enamored with Iron Man now. Nobody wants to be an astronaut. They don't want to be a cowboy. They want to somehow be a superhero because it's just the nouveau thing. And you can see Woody as the cowboy being replaced in his group by an astronaut, which is kind of what happened to cowboys anyway, which was what happened to the Western genre, which had been, I would say, dormant for a number of years before it's kind of slowly started to make a little bit of a comeback recently. Woody tries to, and succeeds in a large way, by pulling this dastardly stunt to try and reclaim the top spot, but his true noble cowboy sense kind of kicks in, and he spends the rest of the movie really trying to make up for that. I think that Woody is sort of the cowboy that people my age imagine all cowboys to be. He was basically the best part of John Wayne, the best part of whomever, all rolled into one cartoon character. And that's Woody. He's a little corny, a little dated, but overall, a hero.
We'll giddy on up over to my number five, which for my list, I didn't want to do Westerns because I was sure we did Westerns already. So I'm sure like Liberty Vance and Jesse James Coward Robert Ford movie, like I'm sure I had those already. So I didn't want to go just straight cowboys. So I looked for
gay cowboys.
Yeah, I skipped that one. I went for cowboys that aren't necessarily in Westerns or cowboy type characters that maybe are modern day. My number five, it's from a terrible, terrible movie, but it's really the only the fifth example I could find of what I was thinking of. It is from 2007, directed by Mark Steven Johnson, starring Nicolas Cage as Ghost Rider, but Sam Elliott as the caretaker is also a Ghost Rider, and he gets his little Ghost Rider-y horse. He's cowboying along the way in this movie. I didn't just pick it for Sam Elliott's character. Ghost Rider was one of my favorite comics growing up. I didn't realize it until later that it was basically just a Western in comic form. Ghost Rider was kind of a cowboy in his own way. You know, he'd ride into town on his horse, which was a flaming motorcycle.
Wasn't there a Ghost Rider that actually used a horse? I mean, in the comics?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. I think Caretaker came from there. There's been a lot of Ghost Riders through time.
Right.
He was riding a motorcycle, and instead of a gun, it was a chain. It just always felt like a Western, and I've never been a big fan of Western, so it never dawned on me until later. But so when I'm thinking of like cowboys, like I used Ghost Rider because he is a cowboy-like character, but Sam Elliott also is a cowboy in the movie, so I made it work.
I feel like you could just put any Sam Elliott role.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One way or another, even if it's not required, he's going to cowboy that role up.
Him and Kris Kristofferson, either one of those.
Yes. My number four comes from a movie that if we did, and we probably did, a favorite Western episode, this is probably higher on that list. I'm not sure why it's number four on this list. It just is. It's Will Kane, played by Gary Cooper, in Fred Zimmerman's 1952 High Noon, starring also Grace Kelly and Lloyd Bridges. My love for High Noon, I feel like, is well known around these parts. Much of that appreciation comes from the fact that High Noon is unlike, I think, almost every Western that was made. Your hero isn't necessarily the most heroic person. He's not looking forward to this final one-on-gang gunfight. As a matter of fact, he spends most of the movie trying to find someone, anyone, to help him out in this last stand, so to speak. I think we'd all expect like one of John Wayne's characters to face off against this whole band of outlaws and pretty much defeat them single-handedly, much to the delight of the townspeople. This is not that movie. The townsfolk are cowardly, and they basically try to convince Kane to leave this town before the bad guy shows up, because it would be bad for their town, and it's going to be bad for him because he's going to get killed. And his wife, Grace Kelly, pretty much says that she's getting on this train, which just so happens to leave at High Noon, with or without him. So this guy is either going to stay and either get murdered in the streets, or at the very least, you lose his wife, whom he just married, or he's going to have to be a coward and live with that for the rest of his life. It seems like nobody wants him to be the standard Western hero that just kind of faces these guys down and does the right thing. Rather than try and paint the picture that the Old West is like full of brave and honorable figures, Zinnemann, he shows us just how many of those kind of stand-up people there were likely to have been when the shooting actually started. There's a great shot towards the end of the movie where they sort of pan up and pull back on Gary Cooper standing in the middle of the street, as you would expect, and there's nothing behind him. There's nobody, there's nothing. Spoiler alert, he doesn't really find anybody to help him out. It's an anti-Western with an anti-cowboy, I guess, at its lead, though mostly through more stubbornness and a little honor thrown in there. He does act in a cowboy manner at the end, but even after that, he's not happy about it.
My number four goes from 2003, an Australian film directed by the Spierig brothers. It is undead. It's an alien slash zombie.
Which you don't like either.
I don't like it, but I do like Mungo McKay's character of Marion. He's this local loony that people try to avoid, and the main character Renee and her fleeing, trying to survive, ends up on his land, and that kind of brings them together with some other survivors. I don't like the movie. I like his character, whether he's doing the two pistols, whether he's doing the triple-barreled shotgun, or just walking around naked. Like, he just has this cowboy feel to him. And it feels like he's in a different movie. It's a zombie movie. Felicity Mason as Renee plays it, like, so straightforward. And there is some dark comedy to the movie. But everything Mungo McKay does is funny in this movie. Everything he does is just badass, awesome, funny, just cowboy.
Over the top in a movie where I think it's he's really seemingly the only one adept at dealing with these creatures.
Yes, yeah.
He does so with a certain amount of flair.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, it's not a Western. It's a zombie movie. But there's this guy from the Australian outback who has all these cowboy tendencies. He can handle any situation. He knows his way around a gun, no matter what kind of gun it is.
Assless chaps.
Yeah, and he'll do anything he can to survive. So, yeah, it's not a cowboy movie, and I guess he's not technically a cowboy, but when I think of the traits that make a good movie cowboy, Marion in Undead had all of those.
He certainly did. The personification of a cowboy. My number three is actually the personification of a cowboy. It'd be tough to do this list without putting John Wayne on there, and I didn't manage to do that. So my number three is Rooster Cogburn from 1969's True Grit, directed by Henry Hathaway, starring John Wayne, Kim Darby, and Glenn Campbell. Admittedly, the Coen brothers did an excellent job with this movie a couple years ago. The dude's portrayal of Rooster Cogburn was great as well. However, I don't think either the movie or the dude quite match the original, and that's not meant to take anything away from what the Coens did, because I thought it was really, really great, but I think this is just a little bit better. I believe John Wayne is probably what most people think of when they think of movie cowboys, and for a good reason. It's probably a bit ironic that he was finally awarded with Best Actor for a role that goes a little bit against his typical hero character. Cogburn is a flawed individual. He's a drunk and not particularly interested in fulfilling the duties of his marshal badge. In fact, it's kind of Glenn Campbell, who's no stranger to iconic Westerns in his own right, that really portrays the typical do-gooder that we see from John Wayne, for all the good it does him. I think that really what puts me over the top on this movie, in comparison to what the Coens did, is that I like the treatment of Glenn Campbell's LeBouf in this one much more than I like how he ends up in the Coen script. It's not to say that, you know, Matt Damon did a bad job. I just like the way the character was written in this one a little bit better. He's the stereotypical white hat that can't seem to help himself from saving the day right until the very end. Both movies are great. I would be fine with either embodiment of Rooster Cogburn because they both played it very, very similarly. I just think that this one particularly is such a classic. And I like the fact that you do have John Wayne, who hated High Noon when it came out because Cooper's character was kind of cowardly. And Cogburn, while he's not as cowardly as Will Caine, he's not the stand-up guy that you would expect from him. And obviously, there's quite a difference between 1952 and 1969. So at some point, I think John Wayne softened his stance on what a hero in a cowboy movie could and should be. And I think it was just really rad that you got to see this guy that we all associate with the genre kind of letting somebody else be the cowboy hero. And he's just sort of the reluctant, yet somehow good-hearted fella.
From John Wayne, one of the most famous movie cowboys, my number three takes us to one of the most famous real cowboys. You know, you have Jesse James, maybe. But I think most people, if Steve Harvey asked him, I would guess, the number one answer when asked who's the most famous cowboy would be Billy the Kid. So my number three is Billy the Kid, portrayed by Dan Shore from 1989's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, directed by Stephen Herrick.
I would have put all the money that I have, as soon as you said Billy the Kid, I was like, this is going to be Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm happy that it is. Oh, yeah.
It was higher on the list, but I bumped it down to accommodate you.
Thank you.
Because I was thinking, thought of Undead, and I thought of a couple others, and I was thinking, like, okay, what's like a modern telling of a cowboy story? Like, stuff. And then I thought, like, oh, gunslingers. Like, something like John Wick is like a modern Western. Like, he's your gunslinger. But I thought that's stretching a little too far. So I thought, like, okay, like, what about just a cowboy in modern times? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure gives me just that.
Literally that.
Yeah, Billy Kid running around the mall. Absolutely love this movie. And any chance I can get to put Bill and Ted on a list, I'm going to do it. I would rather put Bogus Journey on a list, but Billy the Kid does not return there. But I just thought it was a fun portrayal, because here you have this evil dude. And they did the same with Genghis Khan and Napoleon. They took these terrible, terrible people of history and just turned them into goofy comedic relief in just a ridiculous silly movie. But Billy the Kid's a cowboy, so Bill and Ted it is.
My number two, since I still have all the money in my pocket because of my Bill and Ted bet, I'd be willing to bet that my number two is also on your list somewhere. It may even be your number two, who's to say. You mentioned gunslingers, and at least for me, the first person that comes to mind when you mention the gunslinger is The Gunslinger, portrayed by Yul Brynner in Michael Crichton's 1973 Westworld. Interesting enough, written, obviously, by the novelist Michael Crichton, directed by him as well.
Not a novel, not based on a book.
Right.
He wrote the screenplay, yes, and directed it, and I believe it's the only movie he's ever directed.
I think it is, yeah, and I don't think he's going to be directing any more recently.
Which is a shame, because I really like this one.
Yes. Let me make this perfectly clear from the top, as I feel like I do in every episode for no apparent reason. Westworld the movie, not the television show. I have not seen the television show. It is on my DVR. Give me a month or so. I will see it.
Well, he did direct more stuff.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for him. Did he direct Future World?
No.
Okay. Okay, now that I've got all that said, the reason...
He directed Runaway, one of my favorite Tom Selleck movies.
Okay.
Did not know that.
Knowledge. Now that we got all that out of the way, the reason that I'm amped up to watch the show is because of the movie, specifically the story, which you'd expect from Crichton. You would get a good story. Brynner's Gunslinger is pretty much the epitome of a movie cowboy, but a villainous movie cowboy, what they should be. We talked about John Wayne, not necessarily in Rooster Cogburn, but this idea of the cowboy, the white hat, and everything they do, you know, the antithesis of that is your black hat. And he is absolutely checks off every single box for what a black hat should be. His entire getup is black. It's black on black on black. So I guess he's three times as evil as an ordinary villain. Couple that with the fact that he doesn't have a name, he's simply referred to as the Gunslinger, kind of harkens back to the Man with No Name trilogy. And spoiler alert, being a robot, his motivations and determination are completely unwavering, which makes him this completely pure character who's driven by one thing and one thing only and will not stop. Kind of like the Terminator. You have one mission, you have one goal, and nothing will stop them from doing that. And I kind of like that when the goal is just so simple. It really takes a lot of the noise out of it. He's just a bad dude.
Yeah, coincidentally, Westworld is my number two
as
well.
That is a coincidence.
And I do really like it. And it's one of those...
Westworld, the movie or the television show?
I enjoy both. They're different entities because you have one telling a story in 2 hours and then one trying to tell the same story in 5 to 6 10-episode, 10-hour-long seasons. So obviously the show is going to go a little deeper and bring a little bit more, but Crichton is so rich as a storyteller and as a writer that he can make a 2-hour-long movie and somebody can watch it and think, I bet there's 5 or 6 seasons worth of story there. And it's awesome. The show is building on that same kind of mythology and thought of this, and it's just... The premise is awesome. Just this theme park where you can go and you can be in a Western. Because how many people do you know, or maybe you have taken yourself, where you go into the photo thing and you dress as the old country family and you take a photo dressed as cowboys and people from that time. Well, here's the theme park where you're not just taking a photo. You're living that. Like, you're going to this Western world and you're living a Western life, and that's your ride. But in a Western world, you're going to have bad people. And what if one of them goes nuts and starts hurting humans and carries that evil doer role into where it's hurting real people and not just robots? And Brolin's really good in this movie. Yul Brynner's really good in this movie. I feel like there's so much more. And I see they did do a future world, but there's also medieval world that like...
Roman world.
Yeah, there's so much... done.
But yeah, Future World, they did a movie for.
Yeah, there's so much there just in this two-hour movie that Michael Crichton laid the groundwork for, that if you do six seasons of Westworld and you base it all on the Western, it's easy to spin off into medieval world.
Right.
Like, you can do it. And that's why he's one of the greatest writers of our time. And it spilled into movies because it's just a cool idea. Because, I mean, you go to a theme park, and that's what's fascinating about roller coasters is, oh, I could die on there. People have died on roller coasters. So you know...
That's what's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, getting on a roller coaster, that people have died doing what I'm doing. So you go to a theme park, there's a chance you're going to die. So that's movie brings that. They go to a theme park, and people die. That's my number two.
Yeah, I imagine that's why they wanted to go to Westworld, because they thought they might die. That's why they wanted to go to Roman world, too. It wasn't for the orgies. It was for the fact that they might die. And that's why I go to amusement parks, is for the
orgies.
Right. The fact that you might die. Certainly if Aaron caught you there. My number one, I had sort of tipped my hand a little bit, which I think any cowboy would probably not have done. They kept their cards very close to their vest. But it should come as no surprise. My number one is... Clint Eastwood, that's the best way to say it, because he, in fact, does not have a name. He's called three different things in three different movies. So I guess my number one is technically three movies, but it's one cowboy, because he's playing the same character in the Dollars trilogy from Sergio Leone from the years 1964 through 1966. Much in the same way that Brenner's Gunslinger is the prototype for the villainous cowboy. If you look at Eastwood's Blondie, and I'll call him Blondie because that's what he was in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. That's what he was called. He's kind of the archetype for the good guy, but a more complicated one. He's not the white hat that John Wayne has. He's got much more of a complicated past that seems to play out over the three movies, and he kind of half selfishly, half heroically, seemingly fully reluctantly does the right thing. I don't really love Western as a rule, but I really did like these movies. Each one of them feels like its own thing, so you're not going to be lost if you watch them out of order. Though if you want to watch The Good and the Bad and the Ugly first, you'll see him collect the hat and the poncho that he would wear in the other two. The plots of each, while sharing themes like greed, do stand on their own. Nowadays, we've got superheroes are, I think, the modern-day cowboys. And even they have, like, darker and rougher edges now. We saw that with Nolan's Batman, and we've seen it through just about everything from here on out. I think Eastwood's your Batman. He's your Iron Man. He's your anti-hero, dark cowboy guy who's maybe in a different life. You could see him being an outlaw, but I guess the way things present themselves and the bad guys end up pissing him off more than the good guys, so they're the ones that draw his ire. Really, I mean, had it not been for these movies in the 60s, I think Westerns would have died out long before they did, but Sergio Leone was able to make these movies for next to nothing using a bunch of Spanish actors and Italian actors and make a ton of money. And he made three really good movies, too, and got sued. Hell of a 3-year period.
My number one, it's another Australian movie. And it's another one of those where it's a modern movie, but the character is very cowboy-like. And that leads for the whole movie to feel very Western-like, even though it is a modern setting. That's from 2010's Red Hill, written and directed by Patrick Hughes, starring Ryan Kwanten of
True Blood.
And Tommy Lewis as Jimmy Conway, who is essentially the villain of this movie. The setup is just Ryan Kwanten's a cop. It's his first day in this small country town. He has moved to a smaller town to kind of relax a little bit and become a small town cop as opposed to a big town cop. And it just so happens to be the day that somebody that the town had put away for a while happens to escape prison and decides to come back to town with a pure cowboy story, just 100% driven by revenge. Wearing the hat, he's got the guns, he's using a sniper rifle. Everything about a cowboy, like his shooting is fantastic. He's driven on a purpose. He's not just there to kill everybody. He's there to kill who he's after. And if you get in his way, he'll stop you and get you out of his way, but he's not going to kill you because he does have some sense of morality and some morals to him. For the villain of the movie, he does have these anti-hero quirks because he isn't just pure evil. What he's doing is pure evil, and it unfolds throughout the movie why he's acting how he is. And it is kind of a classic Western story. You have villain seeking revenge. You have a dead wife somewhere. You have all these makings of a good Western. And Patrick Hughes did a good job of making it feel kind of like a Western, just a city set Western. And Ryan Kwanten's good in the lead in this. I was really excited to see where Patrick Hughes went from here, but he got sucked into Expendables 3, I believe he did. Expendables 3 was the follow-up that came 4 years later. So I'm still kind of waiting for him to do something else because this is a really cool movie. It's a really cool bad guy who is just a cow. He reminds me of the Saint of Killers from the Preacher comics, if you've ever read those. Just this cowboy that just is on a mission and he's going to kill who he's supposed to kill. And that's it. That's what he's doing. He took this classic Western villain and just threw him into a modern day story. And I think it works out pretty, pretty cool. Yeehaw. Did you have any also-rans? I forgot that was our number ones.
I actually didn't have any also-rans. I think I ran out of basically cowboys that I really like. There's some Western movies that would have, I'm sure, the proposition was on our list somewhere.
Yeah, I think that if we did Westerns, I'm sure I had that on there.
Yeah, or both of us could have had it on there because it is really good.
I left it off this because I was trying to keep off pure Westerns.
Yeah, that's what you were doing. I mean, I didn't do that, but I don't love any of those characters as much as I love Woody. 310 to Yuma is another one that I think you could, either one of them, the original or the remake, I think are both good. But again, it's the characters to me, like Rooster Cogburn and Sheriff Kane, like those ones stick out and they sort of transcend the movie. It so happens that I love the movies as well. But I mean, I love Toy Story 1 and 3. I like 2 a lot as well. And Woody's, I feel like he's an iconic character as well. So it would take a lot to really get on this list, and maybe Westworld is kind of the outlier in there, but I really like that movie, and I had, okay, here's like the good cowboy, the good cowboy, the good cowboy. You can't have good cowboys without bad cowboys, and I feel like the Gunslinger is just like the best of those.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't have any also-rans because Ghost Rider ended up on my list because I was struggling to come
and
up with a
Undead.
Fifth. Yeah, so 2 of my 5, I don't even like those movies. I feel like this is one, if I looked more into it, I know I missed some. Like, I know that there are characters that would have a cowboy feel. And like I said, something like John Wick, I want, because that feels like a Western, because it's in this own little world. In Westerns, you have this world where the cowboys live, and the cowboys all have this code that they follow, and there are people around the cowboys that know cowboys exist but don't know about the inner workings of the world. And that's what John Wick is. You have these hitmen who have their own little world. They have their code within it, and then everything else is outside them.
Even some cop movies. I mean, I think you could make the argument that some of those lone, like even Dirty Harry is a bit of a cowboy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just think even somebody like Murtaugh, I think has cowboy qualities. So I didn't want to jump too far into that rabbit hole, but John Wick was kind of my thinking. That's like a modern Western that's just not cowboys. Like, it's taking everything that is done in Westerns, and it's a classic revenge story. Like, he's shooting people a lot. But that's kind of where my thought process was. But I thought John Wick was harder to sell as a cowboy, so I tried to kind of find the middle ground. So I know I missed some. I know that there are more modern cowboy-type movies that I had to have missed. But if you could think of any, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. Let us know Young Guns was the tagline for this week. Let us know if you've seen Pay It Forward and how much you like it when Haley Joel Osment gets killed.
But, which may make no sense depending on how much of that I cut out of the cold open.
I don't even care. But I don't even care if it's in the cold open or not. I like watching that little kid get stabbed. Next week we have, I don't know yet, but next week.
A surprise.
Yeah, we're leading into December, so we're winding down the year, which will be a lot of fun because December is usually a blast.
Uppies just around
we'll
the corner.
We'll have the uppies. I think we'll probably do a worst of the year episode, which we haven't done before.
Because we're not those guys.
No, we aren't, but Batman vs.
Superman might be this year.
Hasn't come out. Until this year. And then in January, we do our favorites. So it'll be fun this coming month. Have a good Thanksgiving because that's my favorite holiday. Eat a lot of turkey.
Enjoy the footballs.
We'll see you next week with whatever we do. Until then.
Gobble, gobble. Keep it up.